Aqua, Wisconsin. Are you ready? July 17th, one day only, the Muskie Shop Bash. Muskie Shop. Vendors will be standing by, as well as the top Texan pros in muskie fishing. The Smitties, Stephen Ball, Joe Booker, and Matt Rayleigh. You pay for the whole seat, but you only need the edge. But stick around at the seminars, as Joe Booker attempts the recon cartwheel of death.
Hey, folks, this is Joe Booker. Come and see me on July 17th at the Muskie Shop Bash as I attempt the recon cartwheel of death over a pile of old beat-up cars.
Will he live? Will he die? You better be there to find out July 17th.
All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 Podcast. Jay Bird.
Hey, Steven.
Is he going to make it? What do you think? Will Joe
Booker?
He's
going to make it. He can make it.
He can
it's
make
Joe
it.
Joe Booker we're talking about here.
I've seen him flip over like 50 cars.
Yeah.
So yeah. 73, he ought to be able to do it. I'm just saying.
He doesn't even need a ramp. He's got such a powerful motor on that thing. He just punches it and boom.
He's got that big HP.
I'll tell you what, though. If you want to know, you better be there to find out. Better be there to find out. Anyway, so we just added another speaker.
Yep. We keep adding speakers to the July 17th Muskie Shop Bash.
We got the Smitties.
Yep.
Okay. Right. They'll be participating in the seminar thing. They're going to have, they're probably going to be showing some of the baits. Later in the day, they'll be doing a cage fight. And mm-hmm. then after that, you know, just hanging out. But to get the Smitties, got me. I will be walking around being dumb. And Joe.
Yeah, you'll be emceeing the whole event, too.
And then
cool.
we added Matt Rayleigh.
Yeah.
So there you go. He won them PMTTs. So bring your appetite.
Bring your appetite.
Bring an appetite. You know what that stands for, right?
The PMTT?
People making tater tots, boys.
That's right. He's like at least three-time champion, right?
Three-time champion. First time he won it with a conventional oven and a deep fryer, and now the last time he won it was with an air fryer.
I didn't know that.
Yep. People making tater tots. The champ.
If Matt talks about just seriously
tater tot
some
recipes.
Of his secrets, you know, it's going to be beneficial to a lot of people. So
nah,
I'm excited to hear it.
He's a bad dude. He's actually won, world champ 3 muskie tournaments, like then champ of the year.
Yeah, and Top Gun at least a few times. Yeah, he's won him and his partner, Nate Osfar, longtime mm-hmm. partner. Those guys, when they team up, it's like lights out. They're pretty darn good.
Well, and he just dominates that area. So if you want to learn some Northwood tactics,
mm-hmm.
that would be the guy. Three-time, three-peat. He is the Chicago Bulls of muskie tournament fishing. I don't know. Three-peat.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff. So he will be there. He might make tater tots, though. I'm just throwing that out there. Because for years, I've thought that stand for people making tater tots.
Now that you know, and
I'm not that smart, though.
Isn't Matt a Ranger owner, too?
He is. He will be. Actually, you know what? He's who I thought of when we set up the Ranger exclusive, the Ranger owner's VIP. So if you own a Ranger, we'll have, because basically, here's the deal, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Ranger owner, you only want the two best saints there are in the world. La Saint. Excuse me. The two best Croix there are in the world. My apologies. La and Saint, right? So you at La Croix and Saint
Croix. La and Saint. Yeah, I didn't know where you're going with that. Okay.
I'm about Pepsi cleared out of my mind here. I actually have my delicious lemon bubbly sparkling water going here, if you know what I mean. But, you know, I don't own a Ranger, and I completely understand. Some of you don't want to be around the stinky Tracker and Alumacraft owners, right? You just
mm-hmm.
don't want to
right.
be.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh,
Looking for some more exclusivity.
Right. You own a, oh, you own a mirror craft? You don't say.
We'll have Grey Poupon. We'll Grey have Poupon. Some Brie cheese. We'll have some sparkling.
Join Matt Rayleigh. In the sink.
In the we should put him behind that. That should be his booth to man, you know?
Dude, that would be awesome. Like, but that, here's the thing. That guy, like, won that boat. I don't know if it counts. Like,
let's run that by him, too.
Here's my idea of the Ranger exclusive owners, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Matt Thompson from Minneapolis. Dr. Matt Brockville from Minneapolis. Doctor, you know what I'm saying? Attorney. I'm teasing. God, man, I'm just being a dingus. You hear that? You hear that? That's Ice Cubes. So.
Some high quality H2O there.
It is. Join your highfalutin friends in the exclusive. We'll just call it the Rangers Winner Circle. What do you think of that?
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to it.
We'll make sure there is some fine cheese and some sparkling water. Perrier? What do you think? Grey yes. Poupon?
Yes. Grey Poupon's my finest. Idea. I think we need to add that.
I'm going to Costco. I'm buying a red carpet. And I promise you, there will be a Ranger owners only area. If you don't want to be around the lesser type.
There really will be. Yeah. You know, the velvet ropes, everything.
I own a low. Right. And that pretty much just makes me disgusting.
Well, I mean, you know, you just said the word. I mean, low.
Scorn. I mean, scorn.
Does that inspire greatness? I'm sorry. It really doesn't.
I am the filth. Oh, I am the huddled masses of musky fishing filth.
Yep. You know what else we got going for the bash?
What's that?
Today we were surveying our large parking lot, which really is
massive tracts of land.
Yeah, we're working on. We just upgraded the tent size because of the amount of people coming.
Uh-huh.
You know, we got this huge outdoor tent.
What are we
going to
do if there's like seven?
So it's rain or shine. I mean, even if it's sunny, it's going to be probably hot that time of the year. So we'll have a huge, you know, tent with outside, so there's some air in there, and that's where the, you know, the seminar gatherings will be. Mm-hmm. With the PA system and
Elmer's bass concert.
Yeah, lots of we're getting new stuff added pretty much daily. Let's put it that way.
I'm working on another dude too.
We are working on another guy. We'll see what happens. Yeah, we'll let you know next week, hopefully.
If he's gonna be a wiener or not. Anyway, in all honesty, like Matt Rayleigh is one of those people, like, I will be listening with Timba with arms wide. Sorry, Jack.
Yeah, good one.
Sorry, that was an inside joke there for all you Star Trek nerds. Yep. Tanagra when the walls fell? Huh? but... oh, goodness. So sorry. Anyway. So that is in reference. I'll just say it, folks, because this is what you tune in for. That is, what's the name of that episode of TNG, Jay? Look that up for me real quick. Me and Jay are both massive Star Trek The Next Generation fans. And there's this one episode, and it's like Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra.
It's just called Darmok.
Okay, so watch that episode. If you can come to the Musky Shop Bash and quote me a dank line from Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra.
Or Elmer. It'll just go right over his head. It'll be
right,
funny.
Right. Just let me know. I'll hook you up with something. But anyway, what I was getting at, I have no clue how I got that sidetracked. Because yeah, that is a massive sidetrack.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Matt is one of those dudes that I'm excited to hear what he has to say. And just because... You want to talk about pressured water.
We're talking about musky fishing here on a high level, right? Where you're kind of like paid to perform kind of thing, you know, a level which most people don't.
No, dance monkey dance, which is being a guide. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and you're one end of the spectrum and he's kind of the other, I think, in the way you guys fish. You know, I've seen you fish a lot. We're finally going to fish together this year.
What's kidding? You know,
believe that we've never fished together?
But you
isn't
know,
that weird?
That's weird.
But anyway.
But we're actually going to go fishing with Matt, too.
Yes, that's what I was getting at. Yeah, we're going to get him in the boat just a few days after the bash.
Yeah.
And after the day after the bash, of course, we're taking as many or all the people that want to go
fishing
bring
that
with
back
Steve.
Up. Okay, so.
Yeah, we should bring that up.
The bash is on July 17th,
mm-hmm.
right? On the 18th, if you want to go fishing with me and Jay, let us know at the bash. We're going to have a sign-up sheet. It will be first come, first serve. Right now, tentatively, the time is 1 to 5, correct, Jay?
For the bash.
For the bash.
Yes.
So if you're there at 1 o'clock and you go, yo, dude, I want to go fishing with you tomorrow, I will tell you where. We will drop you a pin and we'll say, okay, let's say one dude shows up and it's me and you and Jim and Jody stand in the parking lot and nobody shows up. I'll take that one dude all day long. If there's like 60 of you there that want to go fishing, we'll have to, it'll be shorter, but whatever.
Right. That's going to be my neighbor, Steve, right. If it's only one guy.
Right. So let us know. Jay's going to be there. Jim, that owns the Musky Shop, in whatever we got to do, I will attempt. Yep. You want to get me in trouble? I will attempt to get Book Daddy involved in this.
And it's worth a shot. How cool would that be?
Right. And so I'll attempt to get him going and we'll go out on, there's some good water we know of, and try to get you guys out. So let's say there's a bunch of you want to go. It'll be a shorter time, but you just tell us like, hey, what do you want to work on? What do you want to do?
Yeah. And if you want to work on something or if you just want to hang out, and if we catch fish and if it's cool with you, we'll film it.
Right.
And we'll put it on a future episode of Musky Shop TV. Which premieres when, Steve? When is the debut episode?
June 1st.
June 1st.
June
right around the corner.
1st. I'll tell you what. I'm excited about that because we've got some really good fish on. I've been working my brains out fishing with some good friends and some clients and stuff. But,
yep.
Yeah, if you come to the bash, let us know. I'm not trying to like, ooh, come to the bash. But if you make it up there, I would love to fish with you. And it's like a matter of that is me and Jay talked about this at length of us like trying to give back. We appreciate everything you do. So the best, you know, the best we can come up with is spending some time on the water with you guys. So let us know. But I'm excited, like I said, to go out with Matt because, you know, I mean, if you go out with an angler, you better learn something. And I think there's a lot to learn from that guy just because his level of success. I mean, you do.
Yeah, I have a concept of how he fishes, and it's unlike most people.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not something it's definitely not going to be an approach or a mindset that you take.
No, and I think.
And it's going to be interesting seeing the two styles, you know, in the same boat.
Rumor has it he just fishes that Rowan Martin helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that piece of shit?
Yeah, it's just a mental picture.
No, that was a horrible lure. No, like I said, I'm just excited to learn something. I mean, I am a sponge. I am here to absorb.
Back to the Musky Shot Bash.
No.
You know how much it costs to go to that?
$59.99.
Nothing.
$49.99.
You show up.
Jay, is it $39.99?
We are going to be raffling off.
Are you telling me it's
dozens
free?
And dozens and dozens of lures.
Headlocks.
And probably rods. And there are going to be some reels given away. And all you got to do is put your name in a hat. You know, I mean, the odds of winning something are gigantic. You know, coming away with some free stuff. Plus, we're going to have sales on stuff and specials. And all these free seminars, and
I promise you this,
just going to be a blast.
I promise you this, I will do some dumb stuff and give some stuff away.
You're going to be doing some. Oh, and one more thing, the one thing I'm really excited about,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, is the rod and reel demonstration thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got rod and reel manufacturer reps there, the representatives for different, you know, like Akuma
right.
and you know Daiwa and Shimano and stuff like that, and lots of lure manufacturers too. Lots. This is going to be like a going to a sports show, which no one could do over the winter,
right?
In the middle of the summer when it's nice out, and it's going to be awesome. But anyway, we get these rods and reels. We're going to have, hopefully, I don't want to I don't want to volunteer a number, but I mean, I'm expecting to have a lot of rods and reels. Let's right. say you always wanted to try an Akuma
AVX.
Yeah, 400P model. Right. It's like, okay, we'll have one, you know, spooled up, and you can cast it on, you know, whatever rod you want to use.
Right.
We're going to have hopefully a, you know, a couple dozen different rod models, and you can interchange them, you know, see what it's like on a 9-footer.
Right.
See what this reel, see what this Daiwa Pro-Rex is like. You know, see what this Shimano Trance is like.
Dude, I had a guy show up, and God bless him, and we had a good time. He had the big Tranks. Was it the 500?
Yeah, the big one.
Right. Mm-hmm. He was like, can you spool this for me? I said, absolutely. He actually ordered it from you guys and had it sitting for a while. And he hadn't spooled it up. He just said, will you spool it for me? I said, happy to. Got it done. Got it backed. Blah, 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 blah. Put it on. He was like 20 cast in, looks at me. I said, he was like, I think I bought the wrong reel.
Because of the weight or what? What
yeah,
was
and it was just like, he was just like, this is too big. You know, I was just like, dude, I was like, that's a big friggin' reel. You know,
it is, and it's, yeah, but I mean, they work great for certain applications.
For applications, but like you're talking about rods and reels and combos and stuff and getting a feel in your hand, because he was sitting here going, it's too big. And I said, like, you know,
everybody right. buy stuff blind. That's what we all do.
Right.
I haven't thrown a lot of these different reels. I can't wait to try out some of these new ones. I mean, not just spin it in your hand inside
right.
a store with no line on it.
Huck that, it with something
I mean,
on
oh
it.
Yeah, they all seem pretty smooth, right? They
right.
all seem fairly light and all that. I'm talking about really using them. So
well, and the
I
thing
think
is,
it's gonna be cool.
The thing is this, we're going to be hucking them, probably some bulldogs or something like that that'll bounce. I know we're going to
yeah,
have a cast.
Yeah,
we're going to have a casting yeah. contest.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to probably start with casting contest. Then it will be fist fight a Smitty of your choice.
Yep.
And
Elmer's going to stare down some other
then
dudes.
Then we're going to have a stare down competition. Here's
yep.
my thing. Everybody, if you go into the octagon with a Smitty, right, everybody's going to pick the older one. The dad, the real Smitty, right? Bad call.
Oh,
that's picking a fight with a pit bull, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is.
Just word to the wise. Just saying. Don't look them in
you
the
know.
Eye.
After last,
just saying, it's,
you show the aggression.
Yeah.
After last week, when you mentioned, you know, the Smitties, don't look them in the eye. You know, look
mm-hmm.
down. You know, you don't want to. The next morning at work, I got a text from Jake Smith,
mm-hmm.
the younger Smitty, and it was one of those memes or whatever. It was one of those little, you know, 2 second like looped little things. It was like
it's
the Rock.
It's got a GIF. Yeah.
Doing that stare down thing in a wrestling thing.
Yeah.
That's all it
oh,
was.
He'll hurt you.
So I don't know if he was angry because you don't want to tick him off,
but
or if he
not
was
as,
you know,
not as bad as Big
him.
Daddy Smitty. I'll tell you that right now. Just
yep.
don't. Seriously, do not look him in the eye. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
bets are off if you look at Smitty in the eye. That's what I'm saying. So we'll have some fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. If anything else, in all honesty, an opportunity for anybody that's in the area to just come hang out with is. I'm humbled and I can't express to you. My level of gratitude for the people that listen to this crap every week. You know, I mean, I'm trying
sure.
my best. And we're yep. so excited. I know we're rambling about ourselves in the vent. I am so freaking excited about the launch of Muskie Shop TV. I can't tell you.
I know
I will
are.
Say this. I got the cuts on my hands to prove it. We got the fifth 50 today, boys.
Fifth 50. Yeah. You had a good day in the water. I kept
Swifty.
I'm like, well, what time are we gonna do the podcast today? You know, and it's just like Steve's like, I'm still on the water. Here's another picture. You know, it's like, oh boy.
Big Daddy Diesel.
Here's
what
I'll
say.
Got some good fish today, and like Steve just said, Muskie Shop TV, man.
Muskie
Shop.
Here's what we're gonna be doing.
We got some great episodes coming.
We will, I promise you, podcasters, we cannot be as dumb as we are in here, okay? So when you watch it and you go, Steve's being a little straight-laced. Well, the boomers watch videos, okay? We all know that, right?
Being a little straight-laced.
Right.
No, I mean, well, yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, it's.
Jay, I didn't even send you
this.
I just caught a 50 on a beaver today, folks, and I looked right in the camera and said, I've seen some beat-up beavers, but I've never seen a beaver this beat-up. So,
okay.
Whatever, take it as you will.
Sure.
Ever seen a beat up beaver, Jay?
Absolutely.
Hmm? If you were a muskie, would you eat a beaver?
Sure.
Would you eat a small beaver or a large beaver?
Well,
what color beaver? What color beaver would you eat?
See, questions exactly. We all need to know.
So this is it. I promise you, that's how straight-laced the show will be. But we will follow it up on the show with the burning questions. We're just trying our best. But let me know. You guys have already been sending emails. We actually had a guy that was like, "How do I fish a beaver bait?" I bought like four of them. So we tried that today. My thing is this, is to have a video version of this that's like boomer friendly, because, you know, we all know the boomers run the world, right, Jay?
Right. Okay.
Right. So can't be goofy on there too much, but I'm trying.
No.
I'm trying. Anyway, we've been rambling on. Ramble on.
Sounds like wind chimes in the background.
That's ice cubes. Hold on. Hey-o. Jay. Nice. You know, one of these days we're going to have a musky intervention. So.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Anyway.
What's on the topic for this week?
We're going to do Q&A because apparently I don't just run the app and do the podcast and guide full time. I have to have a freaking TV show. So I never sleep, folks. Plus, I make baits. If you ever bought a Spitfire bait on top of, you know, it, Jay, I sleep, what, about 3.5 hours a day?
I have no idea.
Well, you should know you're there. Oh, he's not.
Oh, okay. You know what? I got a tip from a listener in Maine.
Oh, hold on. Before you do that, you hold on to that. There's a free shipping event.
Good call. Yep. We are doing free shipping at the Muskie Shop this weekend. Well, starting Friday, running all day Saturday, and running all day Sunday.
Free shipping. What is it? Is it nets and rods or just lures?
No, not the oversized stuff.
Okay.
No.
So
just normal size stuff. Domestic orders only.
Sorry,
Canadian guys. We just had a Canadian sale a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
so.
Speaking of Canadians, though, do you remember, Jay, a few weeks ago I was throwing a typical Steve Paul fit, just pissing, pissing and moaning that we didn't have hockey jerseys. Buy me a hockey jersey. Well,
Unky Jim's been working on this top secret behind Stephen Paul's back move. Of course, I ruined it by texting you.
I'll tell you what, I want it, boys. Unky Jim is my favorite.
Hey, did you get him in the mail yet?
Not yet, but boys, I'll tell you what. If you want to put the foil on and you want to look like a B.A. Baracus bad dude, Muskie Shop hockey freaking jerseys are at the store. Listen, Jay, we call him Unky Jim for a reason, because me and Jody Michael love him. Unky Jim came through. He heard my complaining.
Hockey jersey.
The hockey jersey.
Hey, you know what? I ran it by the only NHL pro I know, Patty Dwyer. Hey, Pat.
Hey.
Big podcast listener, and so I popped him on the old phone, and I sent him a picture. I said, "Pat," actually I call him Coach now because he's retired, and I said, "We got hockey jerseys," and he gave it the thumbs up, and he said they look awesome.
Listen,
so he gave it the approval. Okay?
I'm
going to
tell you right
now. I'm excited.
If you don't think bitching will get you everything in life, look at the hockey jerseys I got. Cry.
Shoot the puck.
Go. Complaining will get you everywhere. So we now have hockey jerseys. Unky Jim. You know, me and Jody and Mike will call him Unky Jim. We love him to death. He's the sweetest man I know. But if you complain enough, Unky Jim will come through with the hockey jerseys. So if you want to have a hockey fight at the Muskie Shop Bash, come see me.
Single.
Hey-o. Now, these jerseys are awesome. Basically, Jay, do you know what this is going to allow for?
What's that?
This is going to allow me to get as fat as I want and still film fish and not look disgusting. Because here's the deal. They run big. They run like you got pads on under there.
Yep.
So don't, if you're a large, get a medium.
Yeah. Right? Or yeah, you can even go two sizes down.
If you ever, if okay you've ever seen, Jay, yeah, you know, seriously. You know the band The Cure?
Sure.
So Robert Smith from The Cure got fat as crap, so he just used to wear hockey jerseys. So if you're fat and you want to look good, hockey jersey. Nobody can mm-hmm. tell. That's what I'll be doing. Thank you very much, COVID. Anyway, oh my goodness, we're just rambling. Sorry.
Way too much rambling. Oh, I apologize too.
Whatever. Sick of your crap. Fight you. Anyway.
Lots of cool stuff going on.
Lots of cool stuff going on. By the way, I'm going to pull this up, folks. The love of my life, right? Hold on, let me find it.
What's that?
Just look up Kayak Fishing Adventures on YouTube, okay? That's Jody Michael. My wife went out. She slang crappie in her kayak on the YouTubes. Kayak Fishing Adventures on YouTube. She's got like 12 views and 3 likes. Just give her a thumbs up for me, okay?
One was from me and one was from the Muskie Shop and the other one was from you.
I love her to death. She's a fishing
fan. She launched yesterday.
Jay,
though,
she works at the Muskie Shop.
Kind of.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? We're working remote. There you go. Just give it some love there. Anyway, Sam says, what are your thoughts on outdoor grips, Jig Ripper, and Revolution reel seats? I've personally found them to reduce fatigue, which keeps me out on the water longer. Adding the reel seat is probably the one thing I'd recommend changing. Okay. So anyway, I'm summarizing here. What do we think about Jig Rippers and Revolution seats? I like the Jig Ripper as sort of an add-on. I don't like the Revolution seats, like the screw-ons thing. Jay, what's your thought? Because you've seen more of those than I have as far as like the real seat that you can just screw the handle on. What's your thoughts there?
Well, those Jig Rippers have been out for years now. They're proven. If you have any issues with any threading or anything like that, which is fairly rare, the guy's great about taking care of it and replacing it for you. They go on and 30 seconds, probably. All you need is, I believe, a Phillips screwdriver. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they come with a variety of either plastic, cork, or that wind grip material, that sticky kind of, you know, tennis grip kind of material.
Right.
And, yeah, a lot of people like them for certain applications, you know.
Right.
If you're jigging bondies or blades, blade baits, a lot of people use them for pulling big, hard-pulling blades, too.
What, the handhold there?
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that a lot. And, yeah, I mean, it reduces fatigue and, you know, you got some good hooking power there. And it just, you know, it's just going to be easier on your body.
I had a gentleman on the boat that had a condition, right? Like a scoliosis kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And had that permanent ripper on there. And it was phenomenal for the way that he fished. So that was one thing that sort of blew my mind because he had a Jig Ripper on there. That's how he held the rod, throwing bucktails, anything.
Hey, I mean, you know what? Those things are more inexpensive than most power handles.
Yeah,
are,
I mean,
I mean, what the heck? I mean, try one, you know? Mm-hmm.
If you have a hand fatigue thing or if you have a grip issue, that's one, like I said, the thing that blew my mind was that guy. He was a great fisherman. He just had some physical limitations he was fighting with.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blown away because that was just an easier hold for him.
That's
and
cool.
He was a fishing fiend. He was awesome. So that's one thing that, like, if you have somebody in your life that struggles with holding the rod in that capacity the way we usually do, that's a really good option because there's a big grip there. I like the Jig Rippers for jigging bondies. So if that's your thing and you're going to vertically jig, think about that. I mean, there's nothing negative I can say about them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing there that I'm going to. So Luke says, love the Glide Bait podcast. Looking forward to a topwater one. My question is, do muskies relate to docks? If so, how and when? Thank you. Docks are shade.
I was just going to say that. Absolutely.
And so muskies don't know the difference between flotilla, weed. They don't care.
Yeah, shade's cover.
Right. So if you've got crappie or panfish or perch hanging around these things, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that's going to be a seasonal thing. That's going to be an approach thing. But, you know, I've caught a lot of fish pitching docks. One thing that people shy away from because people get mad when you're there are marinas. Right?
Marinas?
Right. So, okay. You know, whether it be in the South or different regions, you can have houseboats, you can have cabin cruisers, a ton of boats, right?
Uh-huh.
That is a ton of structure, if you will.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right? So whether it be shade or structural oil, I hate to say structure. I shouldn't say structure. I'm wrong when I say structure. But that is a ton of cover, if mm-hmm. you will. Right? Fish will relate to that. First 40-pound fish I've ever seen in my life when I was a kid came off of a marina. And so...
Yeah, it's like a giant fish crib, really. Right. Like you said, it's attracting all this panfish and baitfish in general. Right.
So don't be afraid of... Let's go with man-made structure, okay? Docks, marinas, all that stuff are man-made structure. Don't be afraid to throw it. A lot of times it's overlooked because people are, oh, a muskie won't be there. Psst. If there's food, though, we'll be there. Greg says, I fish a small lake in the UP with no stocking. Don't want to disrupt spawning muskies, but wondering when it's okay to target them before and after. I've always heard 55 degrees was the magic number, but they seem to be done now at 52 with early ice off. I usually see them up scarred and more active when lily pads begin emerging out, you know, sort of proliferating the lake. Great podcast. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. He started talking about water temp a little bit. He said the UP, right? Is that mm-hmm. what he said? Which is not far from where I'm at right here in northern Wisconsin, you know. We had that early ice out this year. It was 2-3 weeks earlier than normal.
Right.
And, you know, we were talking in a latter podcast there about how, you know, we were expecting the spring to kind mm-hmm. of come together. And we've had a lot of below normal temperatures, and it's been pretty cool in the region. So some of the big lakes right now are still in the upper 40s, and right. Some of the smaller lakes are, say, mid-50s right now. So that's kind of where we're at. We've got warmer weather coming. Stuff's going to come together in the next week here, and it's going to get more fish spawning. But, yeah, as for muskie spawning and upper Michigan, early June, I mean, they could still be spawning, I would expect. You're still going to see some activity with just that.
Different bodies of water. I mean, this year's been funky because we've had hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I'm going to target them when they're hitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, post-spawn fish, fair game. So if you could be on the water and you can legally be out there with, I think Michigan is year-round. I mean, if they're hitting, they're hitting. They're not, they're not. All right, Zach says, Stephen J., I was slinking through the local Wally World fishing aisle last Tuesday, and a storm bait called the Swimming Stick caught my eye. I had just ordered a Livingston Lures Headhunter from the hell pit that is a muskie shop. Okay, he's being funny. And he said, I was surprised how closely the baits resemble one another. He said, Steven's been screaming about the Headhunter since he moved on from JBO's tea. That's not true. Come on. Me and Joe are super good friends. Give me a break, dude. He said, I bought it, though. He said, I haven't fished them back-to-back, but he said, you know, next to each other, they're hard to tell apart. Don't get me wrong. They're different. I know the Livingston has an EBS system, some body lines that are apart, superior, blah, 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 blah. He's looking at the storm. Basically, he says this. Are brands related, you know, do companies own the rights to their profiles? Okay, this goes on for a second. I get what you're saying. It's very funny. I appreciate it. Hey, me and Joe are like super tight, so hardy, har, har.
And B, I mean, you know, for Muskie Shop TV, we use everybody's baits.
I fish everything. I mean, that's one thing, like Joe will tell you. Like, you're not going to see me on the JBO Pro staff. We'll definitely have a Joe Booker Outdoors episode.
Mm-hmm.
But me and Joe are tight, and we just keep business, and friends. As far as baits, though, what he's saying, here's the X factor, Chinesium. Like, you put a bait out, it's going to get ripped off. Period. So, who did it first is often the question. It just varies, but like the Headhunter from Livingston, that's a Herbeck design. I believe that's Pete and Herbeck did it. So you've got different variations, but here's what happens. And I'm looking at the wall here in the bait cave. And we're
Cody Dalton.
Cody friggin' Dalton. By the way, I will say this. Somebody sent me a picture of a shirt they're making for the Muskie Shot Bash that has Cody's face on the front. It says Creaker 69 on the back. It's amazing. But they're like, I'm looking right now. My slammers and my cranes. What a great example. Right?
Okay.
A 207 crane and a 7-inch slammer.
Right. Similar but different.
Similar but different. Right.
That's how I don't know what you're getting at, but that's what I would say.
It's just tough because there's only so many fish shapes and there's only so many.
Yeah, right, right. Everything's there's variants of, it's your variation city,
Okay, just, a straight depth raider and a Cisco Kid.
Right.
A swim,
a top raider and a Fat B.
Right. A Swim Whiz and a what's the other? Oh my goodness.
Believer.
Oh my gosh. The bubbles have gone to my brain.
A bulldog and a Medusa.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I don't think anybody's maliciously like, I'm going to rip them off. But a lot of people end up at the same conclusion. A good example.
Well, look what happened with double tens. I mean, Muskie Mayhem, pioneered the cowgirl, the double cowgirl. It actually started out as a single one. It was just called the cowgirl. It was a big single. And they're like, this double bladed thing, we're catching fish on this thing. Yeah. Let's push the double bladed cowgirl, And of course, what that turned into was Copy City. Everyone's building their own version of a double cowgirl.
The problem is just a lot of people, and I'm just sort of going there for a second. Why not?
Yeah, and that's a bucktail. It's not a hard bait, so maybe bad example. But I mean, go with winning formula and find your own way of doing it.
Patenting these things is nearly impossible. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll walk down the line here from left to right. Is as far as chronologically Topwaters, right? Robert's Mud Puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tail prop bait. Followed by Gooch's Tallywhacker. Followed by Pose Awaker. Followed by Joe Booker Top Raider.
Yeah, I think you're going in order here. I like that, yeah.
So let's go down that line. The Mud Puppy was okay. Didn't run great. Sort of had its flaws. Glubba glub glub, but it did its job and it caught some fish, right?
Yeah.
Gooch's came out and went, well, let's do this thing without the gnarly face on this thing. It'll probably run better. And they did it with a tail that bent all over hell and half acre.
Yeah. And it would come out. We want a little bit more plop on that thing, right?
And it would come out a wacky whack. And some were good or some were bad. And then Mesencomer and the fine folks that made that came out with the Awaker. And they made out of the components on that bait were made out of tinfoil.
Yeah, and they had a staple that held the tail in.
Right. Way to go cost efficient. And then Booker said, all right, and I'm not speaking for Joe. I'm just talking chronologically. Joe went, well, these things, all of them roll over. So from the Mud Puppy to the Tallywhacker to the Waker.
Yeah, you pick up the pace and they all rolled. Yep. They all rolled. To go really slow.
None of them had a belly drop. All of them flipped over and the tails came out of whack. Joe Booker goes, belly drop in the front, so it runs true. The tail is impervious to coming out of tune. And the thing's hard plastic, and they all run great.
Yep.
Well, who came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
that's sort of the chronological development of Bates. That's the way it usually goes. I promise you, here in a few months, you're going to be sitting here going, Steve Paul's a butthole because he ripped off a Suig. Huh? What do you know about that, Jay?
Yeah. I was sworn to secrecy.
Exactly. But, you know, you look at that and you go, chronologically, where's the development? Where's the change in these baits? So, fishing baits are so weird because, like, to patent a bait, an actual design or a purpose is really difficult. Like I said, I'm looking at the walls here at the bait cave and I go, okay. Like I said, Depth Raider and Cisco Kid, very much kissing cousins. Grandma and Jake, anybody?
Hello,
pretty lady. A great example there is the bulldozer and the shad wrap. The Livingston bulldozer and the shad wrap. Whoa. Yeah. Another one quickly comes to mind is the Joe Booker Outdoors, their rattle trap, right? And the luncheon.
Nearly, sure. I mean the whole rattle trap thing. Right. You know, the Bill Lewis, probably the original design I would imagine was Bill Lewis back in the '80s or something.
Right. And then I'm looking
age old design. I mean, yeah, everyone's got a version of that.
Man, I'm getting a little more esoteric here, and let's look at what the Leo versus the sledge.
Leo Leopardi.
Yeah, so it just is what it is. I mean, I think a lot of times what happens in bait making is someone will see a bait and they go, I could do that a little bit better. I could do that a little more efficient. I could do that a little more robust. I could do that in a fashion that'll run a little bit better. It is what it is. I mean, in my opinion, this, and I freaking love slammers and I love crane baits. To me, a slammer is a non-disposable crane bait. I mean, that's where I'm at with it. And I absolutely adore both of them. They both have their application, but man, they are kissing cousins. And being from West Virginia, Jay, I should say this. I have nothing against kissing cousins.
That's because you're a creaker.
Creaker, freaking disgusting.
Oh, that's the cool thing about musky lures, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
is the variety. I mean, bring it on. You know, more the merrier. Just like they're all, you know, they all got their, you know, all these versions and variations have something special going on.
What I like is this, and I'm just sort of going in my own angle with this, though. I'm looking at the rarely seen wall of just bucktails, right?
What's that?
I'm looking at the bucktail wall here. I never really show anybody pictures of this because, like, I've got Grim Reapers and JBOs and the spinner baits and all this stuff. The thing when you're talking about, like, the double tens is the things that really get me is, like, Spankies versus, like, Musky Innovations. Right? Or it's Chassé Mayhem, excuse me. It is Mayhem.
Mayhem.
You know, when you look at, like, those are like a double 10 Spanky versus a double 10 Mayhem is a different bait to me. The blade thickness and the way they just run and things of that nature, that's something to think about, you know. But
yeah, again, they look, you know, 10 feet from them, they look the same, but yeah, you get up close and
there's minutiae, but
yeah, they perform differently.
You know, it just becomes a matter of, and I'm just sort of slinking down the bait rabbit hole here again.
Sure.
Is just, what do they do well? Right? So if you're looking at two baits that look the same, what does the one bait do well that the other one doesn't do well? For years.
Yeah, you're talking about like you're on the water and you're going to, you got those two baits and you're going to, why am I going to pick this one over this one right now? You know?
Well, and that's the thing though. You've got to be dialed in to understand that. And it's like, I was talking today on the boat about like being an observationist, being observational of the presentation. Today, the difference between me and someone else on the boat catching fish was merely presentation, right? The delivery method thereof. We had the same baits, but the only thing that differed is how we delivered them. You know, there's a bait there for years that I love and they don't even make anymore, was this Storm Thunder Beast.
Right? Yeah, I remember that thing. Okay.
What a piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at that and you go, oh, that's Bulldog's way better than that. Well, the angle it fell off and at certain points and its rate of descent was way better than a Bulldog in certain scenarios. So if I'm looking at baits and I go, they might look the same. However, they each have their own intrinsic qualities. So that's how I judge baits, because like, okay, I'm looking here and definitely not looking them in the eye, but I'm looking at a Smitty Tracer tail. Right.
Yeah.
So
don't look directly at Steven.
You can't even look.
Death Wish. Listen, or what?
I promise you this much. Okay. Have you ever seen the movie Friday the 13th?
Yeah.
Or Nightmare on Elm Street. If you look a Smitty bait in the eye, the Smitties will haunt your dreams. But you know, it's just like everything has the application. And this is not to his question as much as I'm just talking out loud, which is look at your baits the way a craftsman looks at his tools, right? When you observe your baits in that fashion, you understand their implementation, right? So tell me, you know, okay, Bomber, I don't even know if you guys sell them, and earmuffs if you don't. Bomber. Husky jerks, right?
Okay.
Little, what, 4.5-inch jerk bait?
Sure, yeah.
Versus a Chaos Mini Tap Dancer. And you go, well, the Husky jerk is just a crappy $9 bait. Well, it's got rattles. It gets lower. It works in a little bit more current than a Chaos Mini Tap Dancer does. So it has its own application, right? Versus in that same scenario, a slammer versus a 7-inch slammer versus a 207 crane. So if I need to have a little bit more hang time around these weed edges or rocks, the slammer is going to be the ticket because it has a slightly slower rise than the crane.
Yeah.
Now, the slammer looks like a ripoff of the crane, or the crane looks like a ripoff of the slammer, however you want to view it. They're not the same. They're intrinsically different because of their buoyancy. Now, the crane bait was designed with 35-inch fish in mind. Like, you know, the joke was Dad used to say Bill Crane's ruler didn't start until 30 inches. Right? That was it. Bill Crane was a 30s and low 40s master fishing the Indian Lake chain. Fast, fast, fast. You know, where the slammer might hang a little bit more. And so if you look at the baits in that regard, and like I said, I'm crawling down the rabbit hole and I'll shut up. But
well, yeah, these baits you're talking about are would be classified as minnow baits. You know, they're, which is your shallow diving, you know, crank right. bait. So it's got a diving lip on it. And there's tons. Everybody's got a minnow bait with that basic, thin, you know, how would you describe that? You know, kind of a
minnow shape.
You know, cigar. Well, minnow shape, you know, which is kind of, you know, just kind of cigar shape, maybe a little bit of arc in the body, you know, but I'm not describing it well, I guess, for someone
I know
that's
what
going,
you're saying,
well, what are you talking
like,
about? But, you know, I mean, you know, Joe Booker's got, you know, shallow raiders. Really, they're kind of in the same vein, too. Jake's.
We're running
on and on.
I want to say this because we're on a big tangent, but it's worth talking about. As someone that owns way too many baits, right? I own a crap ton of baits, but I spend a crap ton of time on the water and understand the difference. It's the same. We got a lot of guys that play guitar and play music on the podcast or whatever it may be. You know, Jay, at a certain point, you know, you might buy a Fender Telecaster and the wife goes, why did you buy a Stratocaster? Well, they're completely different. Well, they're both guitars.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. They do insanely different things and excel at different things.
Right.
So the best way I can tell you guys to look at baits, look at what they excel at. Now, if you're new to the game, you're not going to understand that because you have not enough time in the water to see it. But eventually you'll go, this bait's really good at this, and that bait's really good at this. You know, one thing, if you look at glide baits, okay, so like warlocks. Dude, warlocks are bad to the bone because you can tune the tail.
Yeah.
Right?
They're solid plastic. They're tough as nails. They last forever.
Right. So if you're
fishing. They glide so easy. So easy to work.
So if I'm fishing in the crap, I'm fishing in the nasty stuff, I'm going for a warlock because go, okay, if I need it at 4 feet down, I can bend the tail a little bit and tune it. It's running where I want it. So, you know, just you'll realize that all these baits have a little something. And once you unlock the little something each of them have, you go, oh, that makes sense, and this is when I use it. Anyway, Doug says, I'm new to musky fishing for the cabbage dragons. He says, my in-laws hunt them, and I'm looking for a new rod and reel terminal tackle. He said, my total all-in budget's $500. Keep the good work on the podcast. Maybe dumb it down for some newbies once in a while. We try to keep it as dumb as possible. At some point, Doug, we should do like some 101 videos. We'll do it this summer when I'm up for the bash. But anyway.
Yeah.
He's got $500 for a rod, reel, and terminal tackle. What do you think, Bub?
Shield rod, without question.
Duh. Yep.
Yeah.
Nine foot heavy.
Get into a, you know, $200 shield rod. I mean, shipping, by the way, on those.
Which leaves plenty of money for reels.
It leaves plenty of money. Yeah. I mean, if you want to bargain, probably start with one of those Ebu Garcia Max Toros. Those are only around 150.
I've been liking those. Here's the thing.
You use those, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those are my
for clients, right?
Those are too. My number one client reels. I'll say this is for you. If you guys have been long term podcast listeners, you used to hear me talk about C3s, which I like the round reel still. But as far as a bang for the buck, like low profile reel, the Max Toro, they're workhorses too, though.
They're holding up, you know, with your clients, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's one of those reels where you're not going to have any problems with it. You can fish a season and not even think about it. So we're looking at worst case scenario, you could get a C3 round Abu, right, 119. But I would go with that Max Toro. So, like you said, we could go 149 on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then a shield rod. And at the shield rod, let's go with the 9-footer.
Or an 8.6. You know, they're like 200.
Go 9 and be done with it. You know, well, we got the 8. Why play around? But you can get the 9-foot shield rod for $219. So now we're at, you know, $370.
Yep. And yep, you can get your, if you buy a reel, just select the line spooling thing. It's
right.
Attached to every reel. $25. You know, we'll put on the backing and, you know, 80-pound line for you. Whatever you want for line, basically.
There you carry go.
Ton of different line, yeah. So then it's all spooled up for you. You don't have to mess with that and hope that you're attaching the backing right so the, you know, line doesn't slip, because all super line slips if it's not secured to the spool. Just want everyone to know that, you know, that's critical. It'll seem like your drag's not working if it's not attached right. So it's fairly easy to do, but you really have to have backing on there. We've gone over this a few times on the podcast, but yeah, so what are you, barely over 400 right now? You know, by a couple liters. He was talking about terminal tackle and
bam.
Boom. Well under 500.
There you go. You can still afford some storm flat sticks, baby. I got time for one more this week because I've had a long week. Isaac says, I thought it would be interesting to hear what your top couple of high pressure water baits are. If it's really busy and you're trying to do something different, what are some go-to moves? What's some ninja moves, he even said, for pressure waters? Okay.
Good question.
First off the bat, I'm fishing gliders and I'm fishing minnow baits. Because when I think pressure waters, I think blades and topwaters, right?
Right. But, there's probably a lot of that going on
right.
around so, you. Yep.
A lot of those fish are seeing that crap. So get the Hellhound, get the Phantom, right? You can get into some more esoteric glide baits, but get into the glider game immediately. As far as, let's say that is like totally a topwater bite and you're going, okay, some of these people are picking up creepers. That bit and tackle creeper is a killer.
It's probably the best creeper on the market.
I don't even know if probably gets around that. I think it's the best creeper ever made.
Cool.
It's just, they're tuned. They're ready to go. I mean, it is just a bad to the bone topwater. I would be thinking about a creeper. I would be thinking about gliders. And I would definitely be thinking about minnow baits. Because if those fish are not on bucktails and topwater, most people are just out of the game. All right? So,
I like that approach. I think that's sound.
Another thing I'd be thinking about is the baby DR. And that sounds like, oh, everybody's throwing that. No, they're not. They might own them, but they're not throwing them. Baby depth raiders killer up north on pressured water. They're not.
I handled a low 40 pounder. I think the thing went 42 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
It was caught on a baby depth raider after those things came out.
Yep.
It's like late 90s or something. Guy brought it in. We never get muskies in. Almost hate to tell a story, but
right. A
guy brought it in. This is like 1998 or something
right,
like that.
Right, right.
And he had this muskie in his boat, and he's like, hey, do you guys have a scale? And I'm like, yeah, I'll go out and weigh something for you. What do you got? He's like, I got a big muskie.
Mm-hmm.
And put it on the scale, and it was like 42 pounds. I'm like, holy cow, is this a big fish. Little tiny baby depth raider.
And that's one of those baits of, like, if I'm seeing pressure, ooh.
Crazy.
I'm going to that one. And that would be the quick ones. Jay, we will do a much longer Wango Tango Bang Up podcast next week. Folks, if you can make it to the Muskie Shop Bash, be there July 17th. Jay, say goodnight.
Good night.
Later.
Minocqua, Wisconsin, are you ready? July 17th, one day only, the Muskie Shop Bash.
Muskie Shop.
Vendors will be standing by, as well as the top Texan pros in muskie fishing. The Smitties, Stephen Ball, Joe Booker, and Matt Rayleigh. You pay for the whole seat, but you only need the edge. But stick around at the seminars as Joe Booker attempts the recon cartwheel of death.
Hey, folks, this is Joe Booker. Come and see me on July 17th at the Muskie Shop Bash as I attempt the recon cartwheel of death over a pile of old beat-up cars.
Will he live? Will he die? You better be there to find out July 17th.